I'm everywhere, in the trunk of your car, it's so not fair. The way your boyfriend mad, yet Jay don't care. I sense jealousy, flip a bird at you so rebelliously. From a nerd to a pimp with a fat ass crib. Play hater, stop hating on the way I live. I live.
Front, back, side to side, yeah. Up, down, left to right. Yeah. I make you dance, it's the way I give.
Homegirl,
it's the way I live. The way I live. It's the way I live. It's the way I live.
What is happening, people? Happy Wednesday. That's right, Wednesday. We're coming at you a little early this week for the ODC podcast because UFC 83 is going down in Montreal on Saturday, and we wanted the podcast to have a little more shelf life. Without any further ado, for Volume 10 of the podcast, I'll introduce you to my guest today, the site's mixed martial arts expert, Kyle the Antivirus Norton. Welcome to the show, Kyle.
Thanks a lot, Blake. I'm pumped for next weekend, and I bet you're a hell of a lot more pumped than I am.
That's right. I am attending the UFC festivities. Unfortunately, because of exams, it looks like I'm going to miss the weigh-in on Friday. However, I'll be there in full force Saturday for the entire event live, enjoying GSP throwing it down here in Canada.
Yeah, good to hear. Might be a short night of work for him, but I'm sure he'll get his licks in at the after party.
All right, so now this is the UFC's debut in Canada, and I think what's on everyone's mind, because we can't see it right now, is how is this going to have an impact on mixed martial arts as a whole?
Well, I think it's undeniable the rise of mixed martial arts across North America, but Canada has been a real hotbed. Ontario is quickly coming along. Quebec has got a ton of gyms, ton of great talent. Ontario producing a ton of great talent, and I think this show is really going to go a long way in pushing some of the athletes, giving them maybe a little extra exposure that they wouldn't have gotten on an American card.
I agree with you completely. I've seen more gyms going up everywhere, even in my hometown of Cambridge, where a bunch of scrappy little Portuguese guys want to fight each other, and everyone thinks they're the next champion. That said, like you mentioned, this is going to have huge implications for local fighters, I think. It's going to give them much-needed exposure. It's going to make the sport a lot bigger in Canada, having it locally, and it's going to really push fighters to want to get on that bigger stage.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great inspiration to a ton of these guys who are training, trying to get their breaks, and this card is really... It's given guys like Jason Day, who maybe wouldn't have gotten a shot on a UFC card, it's given him a chance to really make a statement and cement his place in the big show.
One thing that's kind of standing in the way as an obstacle still is that mixed martial arts really isn't prominent in Ontario because the Ontario government doesn't want it legalized. They've said that they want to see it on an amateur level first. They want federal regulations for it. They want medical studies done, all of which seems a little bit unachievable, especially if it's just the UFC trying to pound its way into Ontario.
Yeah, they're not going to have very much luck. The guy behind the scenes is Ken Hashia, and he's really putting a full stop to MMA. He's a karate guy, doesn't want to see MMA making a big appearance in Ontario. So he's a big roadblock, and he's flat out said that unless they get federal sanctioning changed, it's not going to happen. And we all know how slow our federal government works. So
that said, the Bell Center is probably close to a sellout. It's close to some mixed martial arts attendance records, and the gate is going to be huge. Do you think at all the Ontario Athletic Commission will look at things differently after they see the money that UFC 83 brings in for the city of Montreal?
Yeah, well, I mean, UFC 83 set attendance records already. It was the fastest sellout in MMA history. It's going to be the biggest crowd in North American MMA history. But I just don't see Ontario following suit. There's a few too many roadblocks so far. They're not moving quickly at all. So I still see a few more years before the federal sanctioning gets changed. Then we might see some events. Who knows, the ACC.
Oh, yeah, hopefully that gets expedited a little bit, especially with the Canadian content on this card that we mentioned. On the undercard, you've got Goulet, who hails from Victoriaville, Sam Stout from London, Ontario, facing off with Rich Clementi, and a lot more Canadian presence. We'll get into that after the first break.
And a sound engineer, he prays for the day he can make him say hey. He left too late and got his car towed away. Damn.
I refuse to leave this block. I know you want me to stop. I won't quit till I'm on top. Hip hop don't pay me. I refuse to leave this block. I know you want me to stop. I won't quit till I'm on top. Hip hop can save my life.
He stands in the cold, hands damn near froze.
We are back, and we're talking about the UFC 83 card going down in Montreal on Saturday. We mentioned a couple of the undercard bouts a little earlier featuring some Canadian content. Let's look a little more in-depth at some Canadian content and other fights going down on the non-pay-per-view card, the matches that aren't guaranteed to make the pay-per-view for the viewer at home. But again, I'll be seeing because I'll be there live and you won't.
Yeah, thanks for rubbing that in. I appreciate that.
Let's start it off with Brad Morris, Cain Velasquez. I know you're a big Velasquez fan, despite him being just 2-0. He was the 2005 Pac-10 Wrestler of the Year, and since then has looked pretty impressive. Your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, like you said, he's only got two professional fights, but one was in Strikeforce, so he has a little bit of experience in the big show. And the guys at American Kickboxing Academy, where he trains out of, just can't say enough good things about him. The wrestling pedigree is obviously a huge asset. Gives him the work ethic, the athleticism, but the guys at AKA really say his striking have come along and the jiu-jitsu will shortly develop.
So he's someone you think we need to watch out for in the heavyweight division in the next couple years?
Definitely. Some of the guys at AKA are saying that he could be a great, great heavyweight fighter, and it's a lot of pressure put on a young guy. He's only 2 years removed from university, but I mean, like I said, he's got a ton of potential.
All right, well, moving on, another guy you're really high on, Demian Maia, taking on Ed Shortfuse Herman.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a terrible matchup for Shortfuse. He's a good wrestler, he's got some pretty good jiu-jitsu, but Demian Maia is just on another level. He's a six-time BJJ world champion, ADCC world champion. I mean, those are the biggest grappling titles you can win in the world. And
he's 7-0 in mixed martial arts competition to Herman's unimpressive 15-4.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great fighter. The striking's not quite there yet, but he can get guys to the ground and sub them pretty quickly. And a lot of the guys down in Brazil who I was talking to the other week, doing a little article on Anderson Silva coming up, asking who can be that guy to knock off Anderson Silva. And the answer is, it's got to be a jiu-jitsu guy. Nobody's going to stand up with him. It's got to be somebody who's going to put him on the ground and submit him. And the only three guys in the middleweight division in the UFC are really, with obvious prejudice, I'm going to say Talos Leches, and then Ricardo Almeida is another real good jiu-jitsu guy, and Demian Maia. I mean, those are the three guys that really, the only guys who have a chance at knocking off the Spider.
And they're all a little bit away from a title shot at this point. The next one we're going to look at, yet another guy you're high on, from Alberta, Canada, Jason Doomsday, taking on the 11-3 Alan Belcher.
Yeah, Jason Day really had a coming out party during his last fight, a big win over David Loazo. David Loazo is a big name, took him out in convincing fashion, and trains with a pretty good camp within the Canadian Martial Arts Center. So I look for him to really give Alan Belcher a run for his money. And I like Alan the Talent Belcher a lot. He's shown a lot of improvements, but I got to root for the Canadian in this fight.
Yeah, I'm not a Belcher fan, and I have a strict policy for Saturday, with one exception, to root for a Canadian in all cases. That exception, of course, Caleb Starnes. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Getting to a little more Canadian content, Jason McDonald against Joe Dirksen. We have Nova Scotia / Edmonton taking on a Winnipeg fighter. Who do you like in this one? This is a tough one to call.
It is a tough one to call. I mean, they fought in 2005, and Joe Dirksen says he claims that he was up in that fight, he was winning the fight, and he made one mistake, and Jason McDonald capitalized. That's the name of the MMA game. McDonald ended up winning with a rear naked choke, and Joe Dirksen, El Dirte, is looking for revenge. But I just think he's a little over the hill. He's got a ton of experience, but coming in against a really athletic Jason, the athlete, McDonald.
Very athletic, the apropos name there.
Very, very athletic.
And a better nickname than what he tried to get going, the Tough Killer. That said, he's an experienced 20-9 with a lot more youth than Dirksen, with 49 fights under his belt. We agree here, Jason McDonald. As we move forward onto the main card, the bouts that are guaranteed to make the pay-per-view, I think we're finally going to disagree on some, and we're going to see, once again, me dominating you as far as UFC picks go. I have quite the track record against you.
Yeah, I don't know where this track record's coming from. That's strictly made up, but we'll see how that goes.
I believe I was 27-31 or something like that over three straight pay-per-views, and I don't think I've lost to you when we attend the brass. Let's take a look at what's going to make the main card, what the people at home will be seeing. For sure. They'll probably see more because GSP's going to make quick work of Sarah.
Yeah, that'll take 2 minutes top, so we're going to get lots of undercard action.
All right, we've got Ultimate Fighter alumnus Mac Danzig. He's 18-4 professionally, taking on Toronto-born Mark Bocek, who's 5-1, the first Canadian to make the main card.
Yeah, so Mac Danzig in this fight, he's moving down from 170 to his natural weight class of 155, and he's a solid fighter, got good stand-up, real solid ground game, has taken out some good ground guys, but really hasn't beat that top name guy just quite yet. And on the other hand, Mark Bocek, in the interest of full disclosure, is a Nova Union guy like me, so I'm big on Mark Bocek. He's a real elite-level grappler. He was an ADCC qualifier, BJJ black belt, and his ground game's just on another level than Danzig, and I think that's going to make the difference. He's got great takedowns for a jiu-jitsu guy, which a lot of them struggle with. So I see Bocek taking this fight to the ground and getting the submission for sure.
All right, Danzig is experienced for a younger guy. He's got the attitude that he's going in there to do a job. He's not necessarily going to mess around or try and do what the fans want to see. So it'll be a very interesting fight. It could be one of those slow grind-em-out fights that maybe goes to the card, I think.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that they wanted to lead the card off with this bout. I mean, Bocek's a ground guy. He's not a wrestler, so he's not going to be all over the place. And Danzig is not an explosive guy either. He's more methodical, so could be a slow one. But I think Bocek's going to pull out a pretty nice submission in the end. Hopefully, it doesn't go all the way to the cards. All
right. Well, we agree yet again. Hopefully, when we come back from this break, we'll disagree a little bit. We got 4 fights left to look at.
Hanging out the double door, a famous throwing scrap door, rocking Travis Barker clothes, breaking down a studio, so we call it that kitchen cold.
We are back, and as the pay-per-view draws closer and closer, we draw closer to talking about that main event that everyone's eyes are on. We've got a couple more fights to get through first, and it starts with Michael the Count Bisping against Charles Chainsaw McCarthy. I think this one's pretty straightforward. Bisping has been unimpressive of late, and he really needs a knockout or submission win. McCarthy's the guy who's going to feed that to him.
Yeah, I mean, they're given Michael the Count Bisping a real soft landing into the 185-pound division. It's a good move for him coming down from 205. He's a little undersized, and that really showed in his fight against Rashad Evans. So they're giving him a soft entry. Hopefully, Charles McCarthy can be the victim of yet another highlight reel knockout to reestablish the Count as a force.
Now, I mentioned earlier, there's one Canadian I'll be cheering against, and that's BC native Caleb Starnes, who I just can't stand. He's facing Nate the Rock Corey, and I'll be backing Corey in this one.
Yeah, it's a pretty clear case of two guys going opposite directions. Caleb Starnes, he's losing popularity quickly. He quit on the Ultimate Fighters, and he's looked unimpressive in his past few fights. And on the other hand, Nate the Rock Corey, you just can't cheer against this guy. He's coming off of life-threatening, not let alone career-threatening, back surgery to knock out his last opponent. So I'm definitely rooting for The Rock. He should have an impressive showing and hopefully get another big KO.
Yeah, the Team Quest fighter, 14-2, not even indicative of how good this guy could be. I think he'll make quick work of Starnes, and Starnes is only here as a Canadian presence. I don't think matchmaker Joe Silva would think Starnes has a chance in this one.
No, I mean, he's one and two in his last couple fights. He's lost to Belcher, who's not a real top level guy. So I think this could be the loss of Caleb Starnes. It's win or you're out for him.
And if Corey is to win like we think he will, does he become a player in this division?
Not yet. He'll be a great guy for the UFC to market. He's a comeback fighter, and everybody loves to see him because he gets a lot of knockouts. But he's definitely gonna need quite a few more fights before he's a player to get in title contention. And I mean, who wants to see this guy fight Anderson Silva? He's a hard puncher, but he's gonna get his head knocked off.
Speaking of guys who have had their head knocked off by Anderson Silva, the last fight before we get to the main event, Rich Franklin, Travis Luter, two guys who have suffered the same fate. Luter Franklin going head to head. this one's straightforward. Travis Luter is in over his head. Franklin is going to destroy him.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, compliments on that transition. That was slick. Travis Luter, he's a really accomplished ground fighter, but I could never cheer for this guy in any situation coming out of Ken Shamrock's lion's den. I mean, he's a little over the hill, and I just don't see him really bringing much of a game for Rich Ace Franklin. Franklin is going to be able to stay on his feet, get an exciting knockout, but I just don't know where Franklin's going to go after this, though. He's been knocked out so many times by Anderson Silva that it's hard for him to find a place in that middleweight division now.
Yeah, he's going to keep fighting very, very ugly scrubs like Travis Luter, I think, until someone knocks off Silva, and then Franklin can get back in the title picture. So I'm going to accuse you right now of protecting your reputation by agreeing with me on every single fight that we've talked about so far. There's no way we disagree on the main event. Montreal native George St. Pierre against Matt the Terror Serra for the UFC's welterweight championship. Matt Serra has no chance. GSP is out for blood, out for revenge, and really out to solidify his legacy as the best welterweight in the world.
Yeah, I mean, this is a totally different situation than their last fight. George St. Pierre was coming off an injury, probably shouldn't have taken the bout, but felt pressured not to back out and didn't really respect Matt Serra. He thought even on 80% health, he was going to be able to take out Matt Serra, and I just don't think he was in the right frame of mind. But this time, it's tables have turned. Matt Serra is coming off a severe back injury. GSP is top flight right now. He says his training's never been better. He's laying off the poutine, so...
And the wine.
Yeah, and the wine.
I've read a lot of positive things about George St. Pierre's preparation for this fight. The one quote that stands out, "I will win or I will go to the hospital," pretty much tells you his mindset going into this one. He's going to kill Matt Serra, who hasn't helped this cause, by trash-talking the consummate professional, George Rush St. Pierre, by claiming that St. Pierre is not the true champion as the interim champion, something St. Pierre admitted from the outset, and Sarah's still jawing off. I guess he just can't help himself.
Yeah, I mean, Serra calling GSP Frenchie and just not a real professional thing to do. And an interesting note, George St. Pierre will not be wearing his interim welterweight belt with him into the ring, but he will be wearing a belt upon his exit.
Talking about GSP, he's definitely winning this fight. He's going to be back at the top of the welterweight division undisputedly after this one. Where does he rank in the discussion of best pound-for-pound fighters in mixed martial arts?
Well, I think had he not lost that fight to Matt Serra, you would be talking about him and Anderson Silva really on the same level.
In the same breath, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he made a fatal miscalculation in that fight and just got caught with one punch and then it was lights out. Had he not, I think he would have crushed Matt Hughes like he did. They would have had to match up after that fight anyways. I think you're talking about him as pound for pound one of the best. We haven't seen Fedor fight anybody decent in a long time, so...
And Tim Sylvia is not going to be that guy either.
No, I don't think so.
So, Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre at the top of the pound for pound discussion if GSP wins this weekend. Is there any chance with only a one weight class difference between them that they square off sometime down the line?
I think so. Once they demolish the rest of the fighters that are in their divisions, really, that's a huge blockbuster fight. George St. Pierre trains down with Greg Jackson in New Mexico. Most of his training partners are middleweights. He trains with Dennis Kang, Nate Marquardt, Rashad Evans, who's a light heavyweight. So he's used to fighting big guys and cuts a lot of weight to make 170. So I think we could see that fight happening.
And GSP would win, in your opinion? Close call, but...
I think he's got a chance. I mean, if he can stay out at range and use his kicks and then get inside with a good takedown, you could see him do some damage. I mean, George St. Pierre is great wrestling and is no slouch on the ground.
And he could throw the spider off with his devastatingly handsome glare to solidify himself as the best fighter in the world, pound for pound. And that is real talk to all y'all.
Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. Real talk. It's really, 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 really 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 real talk. nigga.